boxers, and pugs. Or the strangest combination of all of the above, whatever shape, size, or scruff. That's your dog. That's your dog.
Well, hello, and welcome to Dog Stories. I'm your host, Maria Bell, and along with my co-host in Hollywood, Serene Weerasinghe, we're going to be talking to people about our favorite thing in life. You guessed it, dogs. Today on Dog Stories, I am super excited to be chatting with Adam Vosding. Adam, a.k.a. the Traveling Food Dude, is traveling across America with his canine companion and super sidekick, Holland. Well, hello, Adam. Welcome to Dog Stories.
Thank you. This is so cool. I've listened to the podcast so many times, and it's so cool to be a guest on the show. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for listening. It's always nice to know that there are people out there really listening to our podcast. It's cool. So you're on the road. Where are you now?
I am in Salt Lake City, Utah right now. So we are here for about a day and a half. We're actually on our way to Park City and then going to be driving through Utah and then into Colorado where we're going to be spending the summer. But today I am in Salt Lake City.
Wow. And you started, let me just give the listeners a bit of a background. You're traveling with your dog across the country and stopping to eat stuff, like the best kind of food you can find, and just blogging about that and your travels and the food that you're eating. Is that right?
Pretty much. So about 3 years ago, in August of 2021, it'll be my 3-year anniversary of being on the road. And I started out with a little Airstream travel trailer. We were traveling around and then came to realize the Airstream was a little bit of a hassle for me. So long story short, now I'm in a little van doing kind of the quote unquote van life thing. I've had the van only for a couple months now, but it's been pretty fun. But yeah, I left my corporate career just to go travel around. I was still single and didn't have any kids and just got to a point to where if I didn't do it now, I wasn't sure when or if I was ever going to do something like this. So took the plunge and 3 years later, we're still trucking still along.
Still on the road. Amazing. And you started from Tampa in Florida?
Correct. So I'm actually born in Canada. So I was born in London, Ontario. So just down the road from you. And I have a lot of family in Ontario. But I pretty much grew up down in Florida. Spent most of my life down in Florida. And that's where my home base is Tampa.
Wow. So let's talk a bit about Holland. How did you and she become a team?
So prior to me leaving my corporate career, I had a little bit of a career change where one of my new jobs, I used to travel pretty much 3, 4, 5 days out of the week, every week. Always kind of wanted a dog, but obviously with that kind of job, it just wasn't practical or for me. And then I got into a new job in Tampa where I didn't travel. So one of the first things I did was go down to the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. I probably made 2 or 3 trips down there just randomly if I was in the neighborhood. In the back of my head, I knew I wanted to do it. But for whatever reason, I know it's a commitment and everything too. So it's just like I wasn't super serious about it, but I knew if I went down there enough and looked at the dogs enough, I would, you know, that's the path I wanted to go down. So I just had to convince myself that's what I wanted to do. One of the days I went in there and they had this little dog. Her name was Jeanette, actually, in the kennel. And she had just had puppies. So I saw her and she was a really good size. She was just under between 35 and 40 pounds. Wasn't a puppy, but she still looked like a puppy. But she had her whole belly was shaved. And I guess that's because she had just had puppies. So she was all kind of droopy, how dogs look after they have puppies. So I think in my mind, she would have been adopted sooner, but she just had that kind of like funny look to her. And the staff there was like, yeah, that's normal. That's what they look like after they have puppies. And everything's going to go back to normal kind of thing. So the only reason I bring that up is I think just because of her size and her demeanor, I think she would have been adopted sooner. So I feel really lucky that that she was there that day that I went. And we took her for a little walk, and she did her business as soon as we went outside. So I was pretty happy about that. A little bit of hesitation to get a puppy and go through the house training and chewing and all that kind of thing stage. But so that kind of added some peace of mind to me. And then I was just there. I was just like spending some time with her, sitting there. Every time I'd walk away to go look at other dogs, I'd like go back to her. And then in the back of my head, the decision was already made. But it was just like I sent a couple pictures out to some of my friends and family. I was like, do I do it just for some extra encouragement? But like I said, my mind was already made up. And so a couple hours later, she was in my apartment in downtown Tampa. And we were walking around, kind of showing her around her new neighborhood.
Her new digs. So she grabbed your heart right away.
She did, yeah.
You did. And so what came first? So you got Holland and then decided to travel, or decided to travel and then went and got the dog to accompany you?
The traveling came after. So I had Holland. I've had her for about 5 years now. So I've had her for about 2 years before I just started to travel. And honestly, I'm not sure I would have made the decision to go travel if I didn't have her. Some people wouldn't describe me as shy, but I really am kind of a shy person, a little bit of an introvert. And doing a trip like this would be a lot of fun for me, but having her is just making it exponentially better for me, because she's such an icebreaker to talk to strangers. And as we're exploring new places, everybody loves to come up and give butt scratches or treats or pets or anything to her. So it's been really good. And like I said, I don't think I would have done this journey without her. Even if I did do it, I know it wouldn't be as great as it has been.
It has been. Yeah, dogs are certainly icebreakers. You meet all kinds of people with a dog, for sure. And her name, so you said it was Jeanette, but how did it become Holland?
Well, I had a lot of good male dog names in my head, but I really didn't have any good female dog names. And she's a girl, obviously. So I was trying to figure out what a good name would be. And I pretty much narrowed it down to, I love the name Booger. And my family was not having that. Some of my friends thought it was pretty cute and everything. One day I'm going to have a dog named Booger. but apparently it wasn't meant to be for her. But my family is all Dutch. And I've always liked the name Holland. So it kind of just an ode to my family roots. And like I said, I like the name Holland. It's a little bit different. And it's yeah, an ode to my roots.
Oh, and it suits her, I think. It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it suits her. And so this idea of traveling and you know, this epicurial, if that's the right word, journey, how did that come about? Why did you decide to combine those two things?
I've always loved to travel, and I've been fortunate to go to some pretty cool places. I'd been to Asia a couple times. I went to Russia for the 2014 Olympics, which was really cool.
Wow.
And even prior to that, too, I always like to say I took pictures of my food before it was cool to take pictures of your food, kind of thing. When I go back and look at all my travels, like there's a lot that I don't remember, but I swear to God, I can tell you every single meal that I had on every trip. And it was just, I felt like the food was just such a magical part of any kind of traveling. Yeah, my whole journey kind of started when a friend of mine was trying to help people launch websites and stuff like that. So she had reached out on her Facebook page if anybody wanted to start a blog. And I'd never really thought about it, but I saw her post and I'm like, oh, it'd be kind of cool to do. So that's what got the whole ball in motion kind of thing. And I was trying to figure out a theme, and I was like, well, at the end of the day, food is my favorite thing. So I need to pick a food theme. And then I started trying to toy with the words with traveling and food and me being a guy. And there's Traveling Food Dude had all the social media handles available and the website name available. And that's my handle, is Traveling Food Dude. And I know we've kind of talked a little bit prior to our interview here about my recent not so fortunate luck with Instagram. I got disabled or something for some reason a couple weeks ago on my birthday, nonetheless. So I'm trying to figure out how to get that back. And hopefully I do. But during all our travels, like I said, Holland got so much attention too that I was like, I need to set up a little page for Holland. So I set up at Holland the Pup. And so that is her handle on all the social media platforms. So you can follow her as well.
Is that still working?
Yep.
That's good. So you can probably channel your stuff through there. And in the meantime, maybe some of our listeners have had the same problem and have had a solution and can maybe get in touch with you to
figure
it out.
I would absolutely love that, because it's been 3 years of, as far as the traveling food part, 3 years of a lot of my money and a lot of my time. And it was just all of a sudden the Instagram part of it is gone.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. I'm going through the same thing too. They just sort of said, oops, you're temporarily locked out. Well, it hasn't been temporary. It's been, you know, it's been a while now. So it's very frustrating.
But just to throw it out too, because I know some of your listeners are Canadian or from across the pond, the way I spell traveling and traveling food dude is the American way with just one L. So if you do, and I'm still on Facebook, and that's the weird part, because all my Instagram stuff went over to Facebook, and but my Facebook traveling food dude is still up and running.
Well, that's good. That's good. Because goodness, it is heartbreaking. There's so much work that goes into it. Your heart and soul, you know, all of your pictures. It's just really sad when that happens. And it's happening a lot, and I don't understand
why. That's what I've
heard,
too, yeah.
And now, Holland, what kind of a dog is she?
That is a very good question. And it's funny, because I just listened to your podcast a couple weeks ago about, I think you guys did the Embark test out in Hollywood for your counterpart's dog, and I was listening to the results. So one of these days, I am going to do a DNA test. I just haven't done it yet. But I call her a lab mix. I'm not really sure. I think she might have some border collie. I think she might have some Australian shepherd. She has kind of short legs. So I don't know where the short legs come from. But she's not very big, and she's got a little bit of color to her. Her butt's a little fluffier than her front. So I really don't know.
And she's a corgi?
She could. I mean, that, with the short legs, she could have some.
And a fluffy butt? Absolutely.
Yeah. So
that's pretty funny. So now in your travels, has Holland had a favorite place that you can think of?
I think anywhere with sand, water, or snow. So it's funny, we were just, we were at the Bonneville Salt Flats, which is an hour and a bit west of Salt Lake City, which basically looks like sand, but it's miles and miles of this salt. And took her up there, and as soon as there's a wide open space with sand or snow or something flat, like, she'll just run around forever and ever and ever. She's really enjoyed that. We've been to Canada a few times where she's seen snow up there. We're in Winnipeg, and then Ontario and Quebec, the three provinces she's been to. And I think she's seen snow in every one of those. So she loves running around snow. We spend our little bit of time in Colorado, so she sees some snow in Colorado too. And down in Florida and out in California, she's loved the sand. She'll just run around. She just gets this extra, I'm sure a lot of dog owners know this too, that it's like the hyperdrive zoomies when she's on snow or sand.
I love the zoomies.
So anywhere with those are her favorite spots.
And how old is she? Did we say?
So when I adopted her almost 6 years ago, they said she was about two. So her birthday, I claimed her birthday to be in late July, right after I adopted her. So she should be eight in late July of 2021 this year.
She's living the life.
Yeah,
she really is.
We're both started getting gray hairs at the same time, and we're both going gray pretty quick now. So,
and so her favorite place, her favorite food. What do you think that is? And all of your journey, what do you think she enjoyed the most?
I think it's hard to say a favorite food because she's, well, I was going to say she likes everything, but she is kind of a picky eater, which is funny because if we go to a store and somebody wants to give her a dog treat, generally she won't take it right out of their hand. They have to put it on the floor, and then she'll like take her time to eat it. And I feel bad sometimes. I'm like, she really appreciates it. She just eats at her own pace. But the two kind of things that stick out the top of my head right now is we just drove through Texas a few weeks ago. So she had the remnants of a big old beef rib out there, which she loved, and some Texas beef brisket And then another funny thing too, I was in Montreal a couple of years ago, and she got to finish the end of my poutine. So she likes to eat regionally like I do, whatever the local stuff is.
Oh, that's good. It's lucky she doesn't have a sensitive stomach, as a lot of dogs do.
Yeah, I've always thought that too. Like, I'm hesitant to give her anything really spicy or anything like that. Usually it's pretty in moderation too, but really haven't had any issues. So she seems to be an adventurous eater. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that brings us to a segment we like to call, and since you're a listener, you'll know, Dogs 101. And that's something that you've learned about your journey with dogs, about dogs. So something about them that you've learned that you can share with us.
This is a tough one too, because I've learned so much from her. And I want to give a shout out to her. She honest. I know everybody thinks their dog is the best too, but I am 100% sure that she's the best dog for me. We have so many similarities. It's pretty funny. Like, we're very social at times, but then we like to have our alone time. She's quiet. She's in the almost 5 years I've had her, almost 6 years I've had her now, she's only barked 4 times that I know of.
Wow.
And that's usually in a weird circumstance. Not to get off topic, but one of them was last summer. I was sitting on the bank of the Colorado River. We had just finished a pretty long drive and got back to a ranch in Colorado. And I was laid my back on the grass and was just looking up at the sky. And she was behind me off leash. And then all of a sudden I heard a dog bark. And I was like, whose dog is that? Like, I didn't even know it was her. And I got up and she was scaring a moose away. There was a big moose that was probably within 50 yards of us or 50 meters. And by the time I got up, she was literally chasing it across the Colorado River, which was pretty funny.
Oh my.
So I had read that read the book, Travels with Charlie. And there's a part in that book where he references that his dog is very mild mannered, but there was a time that the dog saw a bear, and the dog just like went off and scared the bear away. And I had always wondered what Holland would do in a situation like that. So we haven't seen a bear, but she did scare a moose off, which was pretty cool. But
that is cool, because, you know, moose can be dangerous.
Yeah,
definitely. So that was very brave of her.
But I think she's just kind of reassured me that, you know, it's cool and it's all right to be quiet and just kind of do your own thing. I'm looking at her right now. She just seems to be totally content. She's up in the front seat. I got a little platform for her. We're traveling around in a van right now, so she's got the passenger seat to herself. And, you know, she just enjoys the ride kind of thing. And that was one of my dad's saying, is just enjoy the ride. And I always think about, you know, dogs never know what's in their future, really. They don't plan for stuff. And she doesn't know where she's going to be tomorrow. And she doesn't know where she's going to be a couple hours from now. But she's always just, you can see her sniffing and looking and just like enjoying what's around her and learning what's around her and living life for the moment. So I think she's really helped me kind of regain focus on that mentality of just kind of living life for the moment.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean about living in the moment. It's like when my friends have troubles and we're talking about, you know, just troubles, I always just look at them and go, woof. And they right away, they know what I'm saying. I'm such a dog person. I don't have to say too much. And just like, you know, don't worry about it. It will all just work itself out. Stay where you are and hope for the, you know, best.
Yep. Things change for sure. And that's what you got to just realize, that things will get better. And yeah, just.
Yeah. You never know.
Tough it out. Yeah.
You never know what the next day is going to hold for you, right?
It's exactly.
Like
exactly.
Full of adventures like you and Holland are having.
Yep.
So, okay, now that's our next segment coming up. It's called Leave the Dog a Bone. So this is your chance to promote something. An Instagram page, a TV show, a movie, a book, something you really have enjoyed that you can share with us.
Yeah, we got a couple things. Just back to Holland's journey, or our journey that kind of transitioned into a lot of stuff on Holland. One of the, as we were traveling around the United States and Canada, like, I'm a big hockey fan and we follow the Tampa Bay Lightning. And so I was going to these hockey games while we were on the road. And I got Holland a little Tampa Bay Lightning jersey with her name on the back of it. and we started getting a lot of attention at these hockey games. She's now been to 11 NHL arenas in the United States and Canada, and we got an invite to go see the Stanley Cup when it was in Tampa earlier this year. Met Phil Pritchard, the keeper of the cup. So one of my goals, and hopefully it's not there yet, but as far as give a dog a bone, Phil Pritchard's also the curator for the Hockey Hall of Fame. So I told him, I was like, as soon as we get Holland to every NHL arena, I want to donate her jersey to the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. So hopefully we can finish that journey, and hopefully one day her little, actually I have it right here.
Her little
hockey jersey will be on display in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
You'll have to get an ink pad and get her to put
exactly,
her paw
like her little signature or something on it. But we've got, and with her sports travels too, she actually now has her own column on a dog website that's under the Fansided umbrella. Fansided is a big sports website, sports and culture website, and they have a Daily Dog. It's kind of their dog section. And so she's written a few articles on that website so far, and we hope to write a lot more as we share what we've been up to and our future journeys. We've met a lot of other cool dogs on our journey, including some other sports dogs and service dogs and police dogs and stuff like that. So trying to figure out an angle for her column, but I think it's going to be about traveling and food and meeting other dogs and meeting other people along the way. So if you have a dog that possibly we could meet in the future and do an article about it, we would love to do that, kind of like a dog interview per se. We've met some pretty cool hockey dogs in Las Vegas and Toronto and Denver and in Ottawa. So sports dogs, I should say.
Wow.
And yeah, Holland, just check out Holland the Pup on Instagram and on Facebook. And then Traveling Food Dude, my YouTube channel, she has some content in my Traveling Food Dude videos. One day we hope to possibly start writing some children's books from the perspective of Holland and get that on Amazon. And so yeah, would just check out, if you just Google Holland the Pup, you'll see lots of different stuff out there. And we would love to meet other humans and other four-legged furry friends on our journey and kind of share what you guys are up to as well as we just go out and explore our world. A lot of people ask, you know, what's the intent of my travels or what's the objective? And really, my objective is just to meet people that I never would have met before and to learn things that I never would have learned before. So
that's not something that a shy person does usually.
No, and
I don't think you're shy.
But that's really why it's so great having Holland with me, because she brings me out of my shell a little bit. So
yeah, it's cool.
Anybody thinking about getting a dog, if you're ready for the commitment, it's the best thing you could ever do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're heading to Colorado. So if you're anywhere near Georgetown and you listened to our episode about Parker the Snow Dog.
We met him. We did, last, and it was funny, Holland was in her Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey and Parker was in his Denver Broncos jersey. Actually, we met him twice. We met him in Georgetown. And then a couple weeks later, the Buccaneers were playing in Denver this past season in the fall. And we went out there before the game and Parker was there greeting the fans and the team and everything. So we got a couple of really cool pictures of Parker and Holland together right outside Mile High Stadium in Denver. And it was really special. And yeah, that Parker episode was great. It got me thinking about trying to get Holland labeled as a service animal or a therapy dog. Not necessarily for myself, but we'd love to take her to different hospitals or whatever it may be. She's very gentle and very loving. Kind of along that train of thought too, I told you, My good buddy who lives in Phoenix has two daughters, and they're both scared of dogs. And when I was in town and was going to see him, the dog was an issue kind of because they didn't really like being around dogs. And I was like, well, give her a chance. She's very mild mannered and stuff like that. And so we all met out at a park near where he lived, and the kids were playing soccer, and by the end of like the 30 minutes we were out there, like Holland was playing soccer with the girls and they were like giving her hugs and everything. And just a couple weeks ago, we were coming through Phoenix again, and I was reached out to my buddy, and the first thing he said was like, the girls want to know if Holland's going to be with you. I'm like, what about me? But I was like, yeah, she is. And I was like, I warned him. I was like, she's going to be kind of stinky though. We've been on the road. She's been running around for a while. And they're like, and then he was like, well, the girls want to give her a bath. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. Like two girls that were kind of hesitant about dogs now want to, you know, not only hang out with her, but give her a bath and everything too. So we were able to give her a bath. They got her all nice and cleaned up. So I want to give a shout out to Sophia and Celeste in Phoenix. They should be listening to this. I told them that I'd mention them on the podcast. So that's really cool to see Holland kind of open, give kids, you know, a new look on dogs if they might have been scared.
It's important because when you're frightened of dogs, it's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. When my son was about two, he was bitten very badly by a dog. And my worst fear was that he was going to be afraid of dogs from then on.
Yeah.
But he wasn't, which was very, very lucky. Yeah, it's not a good thing to be afraid.
Yeah, that's the thing. You just have to overcome it. I mean, there's a legit... I mean, I think anybody would be scared if something bad happened, but you just have to understand that it's not always going to be the case, and you just need to little baby steps to make things better. And yeah,
exactly. And I wanted to ask as well, how is this pandemic affecting your travels?
Well, you alluded earlier that we were going to spending our summer in Colorado. So this is my third summer working as an assistant chef at a Dude Ranch in Colorado. I didn't even know Dude Ranches existed, but it's a real life Dude Ranch in Colorado where they have over 100 horses, and guests come out there for a week and spend time outside riding horses and just enjoying the Colorado Rocky Mountains. So going back to the pandemic, last year, the ranch season basically goes from May until October. So I was on the road for April. You know, that was when things were getting bad. And then May, people still didn't know what was going on. So honestly, I was in a very fortunate place to be. I live on the ranch in a little cabin by myself and my dog that the ranch provided for us. All the activities were outside. We were even serving meals outside instead of in the dining room or doing like large group gatherings like they normally did. So I was in a very fortunate spot to be on the ranch. Just really, I saw more horses than I did humans. We saw a lot of humans, but it was easy to distance and everything. And like I said, everything was outside. So it's been good for me just because of my setting. We spent a few months in Michigan in the fall after that last year. And that was my first glimpse of, we are in rural west of Traverse City. So on Lake Michigan, a little town called Glen Arbor, which is a beautiful little place.
Oh yeah.
And again, it's not very populated. So I wasn't in a big like urban setting or anything like that. But it was when I noticed that like, hey, restaurants are closed. Like it was like the reality of it was kind of sinking in. And it's interesting times for sure. But I like being outside and kind of by myself so much that it's hasn't affected me too much. There definitely are times where there's a lot of restaurants or something that I want to go check out or festival. I'm a big festival and sports guy. So like those pretty much all went away, but there's so much other. So we've gone to so many national parks in the last year. There's just so many other things to do that I haven't really noticed not being able to do a lot of the stuff that I really had like doing.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's food is a big part of my life too. Huge. I love being out with my friends for dinner and cooking and all that kind of stuff. So it's impacted, of course, a lot of people that way.
One of my favorite places on earth is the St. Lawrence Market in Toronto. I just absolutely love that place. And I don't know what it's like there now or has been, but I can't imagine it's been great for that kind of environment. And it's unfortunate because people put their, you know, their whole careers and businesses and stuff like that. And it's such a social thing too. Actually, Holland has had some pea meal bacon from the St. Lawrence Market as well. So,
wow. yeah, that's one of my favorite places too. I love it. And it's still open. Of course, all the bits that are not pertaining to food are closed, but the market is open.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got a quick shout out to your counterpart too on Hollywood because, We were out in Hollywood for the Los Angeles Kings game when Tampa was in the town a couple years ago, and walked the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And Holland has her picture next to Snoop Dogg star. And we went to the Randy's Donuts has, we went to their original location, and they have a little one in Hollywood too. And we went in there, and the girls behind the counter were giving Holland like a little donut piece and stuff like that. So I just say, as I listen to your podcast, I think it's really cool how you have a perspective from California and then a perspective from Toronto. And as I listen to it, I'm like, this is so cool that Holland has spent like quite a bit of time in both of those cities in California, and LA and Hollywood and Toronto. So pretty cool.
I hope I get to meet her someday. That would be awesome.
We hope to make it up there this fall. Hopefully, I am a dual citizen. I have a Canadian passport and a US passport. So hopefully, usually when the ranch closes. Oh, nice. That's awesome. when the ranch closes up for the summer, it's right before Canadian Thanksgiving. So it's my goal to hopefully get up there for Canadian Thanksgiving this year.
Cool. Yeah. Well, if you do, you're going to have to look us up. Me and Lexi would love to meet you.
Absolutely. We would. Yeah, where is she? I don't think I've ever seen a picture of her. I think I've heard her bark on that thing.
But. You probably have, but she's around somewhere. I don't know where she's gone. She's hidden, and she's been really good through this whole podcast. I haven't heard anything from her at all. It's good. Well, I really have enjoyed talking with you, Adam, about all of your journeys and I'm there with you in spirit. I would certainly love to be riding around with you, tasting all this food and hanging out with my dog. It'd be so much fun. And I appreciate that you took the time to talk with us.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure. And thank you so much for your time. And I'm really glad we got to coordinate this and share our story. And like I said, please reach out to me or Holland on our pages. And we'd love to meet not only you, but all your fans out there too. So
thanks again, Adam. Happy trails.
Thank you. And Holland says thanks.
Do you have a dog story you'd like to share? Send an email to dogstoriespodcast@gmail.com. We would love it if you left a review or subscribed anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Our awesome theme song was composed and performed by Sarah Margaret Huff. Sound effects provided by Marley and Lexi.